The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's a beautiful morning. The birds are chirping. The sun is shining. And you're listening to
Breakfast with Rosie.
Next up, some smooth jazz on your drive to unemployment.
What the fuck?
I know it's mean to say you're green, but you gots to leave WWE. You're not fit to be the shit, so stay at home and make my grits. That's the first verse.
If anybody's looking for a new co-host for any radio show, I'm available.
Good evening, wrestling fans, entertainment fans. This is Anthony of wrestling-news.com. I want to thank you very much for listening tonight.
Oh, how I had no idea that the wrestling world was filled with atheists. Dixie, you are forgiven.
Hey, ho, Kermit the Frog. I am the new GM for Raw. NXT! NXT! Yay!
Get the fuck out of here.
What
are you looking at?
Nice swing, Mike. Thanks.
All right, let's go. Let's have the conversation on the side of the road. Let's go. You see all these cars behind you? Move up. There's a parking space right there, idiot. Go to the right, stupid. Wait for what? Go. What the fuck you waiting for? Damn, you are brain dead. Get a fucking license. Holy shit.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire. May still be torn and tattered.
All right, I'm a day late with this, I admit it. You know, 12 podcasts in 13 days, especially when you got a real big problem with your abdominal area, that'll do it to you. I am a day late, but I am back, and as promised, I bring you this edition of Breakfast with Blassie. But you know what? Since I do blah, blah, blah every other week on Patreon, and I have a few things to talk about non-wrestling related, in addition to wrestling related, I decided, let's bring it back. So this episode is Breakfast with Blassie meets blah, blah, blah. And if you don't know what that means, yes, you will have a plethora of wrestling discussion on this show. But we will talk about non-wrestling topics and real life and some other shit going on. And if you follow me on Twitter at DonTonyD, you already know the deal with what I posted earlier today. For those out there that wish my demise and can't stand me, but for some reason still listen anyway, I had some very big tests done this morning. You know, for those that don't know, I talk about it probably more on Patreon since those shows are a little bit more relaxed and open and extended. But yours truly, since February, has been dealing with some very severe abdominal pain. It's bad enough that I don't get great sleep because of the pain that I still deal with from my car accident. And that's why, especially on Monday nights at 11 p.m. or 11:15, whatever time we start the Don, Tony, and Kevin Katzel show, I keep almost begging my calls, please, let's get 2 pounds of bologna stuffed in a 1-pound bag. We need to end these shows early. And sorry, you know, I'm a fan of Maria Kanellis, and I'm glad that they have a little storyline on TV. But the days of doing 15-minute discussions, is she pregnant, is she not pregnant, is this, is that, those are over. You need to get this shit done quickly. You know, I always say to people out there, if you want to hear longer shows, or if you want my co-host on Monday to keep talking into the wee hours of the morning, I'll keep the server open. But as far as me, yours truly can't fuck up his personal life, his health, just because people want to stay up at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning because they have nothing else to do. So anyway, I've been dealing with this severe abdominal pain on top of everything else, but life is fucking great. I try to make the best of it. And today I had to get some tests done because I honestly think that my gallbladder is causing a majority of it. Sure enough, I had tests done this morning. I actually already got the results and I posted it online, just X-ing out my personal information because none of you motherfuckers need to see that. And it ends up that I find out that I got like two medical conditions. My gallbladder only like extracts bile at 25% of what it normally should, which basically means like things are fucked up. Now, honestly, I am ecstatic that that came out, that news, because at least I'm starting to focus and narrow down as far as what's causing me this unbelievable pain. So I have an appointment to see my doctor Tuesday. They're going to set up this surgery pretty quickly. And, you know, as far as the shows go, you know, look, I battle through it. I love doing this stuff. You know, yes, it's still a hobby, but it's a labor of love. And all of you out there enjoy the shows. And believe me when I tell you, even for the people that are my harshest critics out there, if you enjoy these shows that are banged out, whether it's me by myself or me and Mish or me and Kev Castle, you know, I absolutely love doing it for all of you. And that's why I'm back once again today. You have a decent number of topics to get into. Nothing earth-shattering. I got a kick out of grown adults tonight getting all triggered because WWE announced an event in Nashville called Smackville. And, you know, I was thinking about it on the surface. Okay, SmackDown Live, my initial thoughts was, you know, the first match they announced that they really were pushing is Kofi defending the WWE Championship in a three-way against Samoa Joe and Dolph Ziggler. And I was like, okay, SmackDown, he's small, Smallville, SmackDown, okay, Smackville. But then I realized this is taking place in Nashville, Tennessee. Come on, everyone. I see people on there like writing fucking essays making fun of WWE because they named an event Smackville. Well, maybe you don't live in Nashville, Tennessee, and Smackville is a combination of SmackDown Live and Nashville, and that's why they came up with the name. Who the fuck cares if they came up with the name? As long as the fucking card and the wrestling is great, and not only that, they're going to air this on the WWE Network. So you're getting to see a house show live on the network, and people still got to complain. Are your lives that miserable? I mean, is this what's going on? Let me just fucking sit on social media all day and fucking collect Medicaid and welfare and fucking lie about everything about my personal life and not post photos or just post a very old photo of yourself or child baby photos and fucking just act like Forrest Gump all day long? Is that what it came down to? You got to see the level of triggered over that fucking name. Who gives a shit? It's Nashville. You don't live in Nashville. I didn't see anybody in Nashville have a problem with it. Shut the fuck up. Another thing that I see tonight that everybody is fucking ripping apart. Oh, AEW announces a press release that Tully Blanchard has signed a multi-show agreement, which means he's not under contract. He's going to appear in a few events, and he's going to be the manager or the on-air advisor of Shawn Spears. And people are like, 2019, everybody, 2019. How's about Shawn Spears and Cody are going to have a fucking little feud? And how's about the fact that Tully Blanchard has a legendary feud with Dusty Rhodes? Now, for all the 20-somethings out there and the teens, and even the 30-year-olds that are just fucking trying to get tweet-fucked online writing about this, you know, hey, Yeah, there's a history between Tully Blanchard and Dusty Rhodes. Maybe you weren't alive to fucking see it, but there's a reason why that pairing was put together. Me personally, I ain't losing sleep over it. It's nice to see. I see so many people out there. Amy, don't have managers anymore. And because Tully Blanchard, because he hasn't done anything in wrestling, you have a fucking problem with it? Go jerk off. Go jerk off somewhere. Go fucking look at fucking, you know, nip slips. Who the fuck cares, man? It's, they signed him to a deal. It's not earth-shattering news. It makes sense for the feud. Tully Blanchard, you know, because of Dusty Rhodes, taking it out on Cody, and he's going to, you know, come on. It's not a big deal, everyone. You know, what talent out there, veterans, Hall of Famers, you know, from yesteryear, you give me your list of 10 names out there that you would rather, come on, what are you going to give me, the Jake the Snake Roberts? You know what I'm saying? They don't have a plethora of people out there. They're either in WWE or they're dead. I mean, that's what it is. We don't have a plethora of people to choose from out there. I have no problem with this. I know what some of you are going to say. Oh, he should be Arn Anderson instead of Tully Blanchard. Yeah, okay, fine. So what? So, you know, big deal. It's Tully Blanchard. The fuck you have a problem with that? Amazing. Now, like I said, we're going to get into some wrestling stuff, non-wrestling stuff. I got to follow up a little bit with Jeff Hardy because I talked about it a little bit on Monday. Also talked about it on Tuesday's DTKC Show Extra. And look, I want to make this clear, and it's not to be spiteful to anybody out there, but, you know, you watch any fucking show on TV, a news show, a recap show, you know, you watch a baseball recap show, ESPN SportsCenter. You have an announcer that or a commentator that is not on for 2 or 3 days straight, and then he comes back. He don't fucking start giving you results from 2, 3 days ago. So if I discuss something with Mish and I don't discuss it again with Kev Castle, don't give me this, well, you never talked about so-and-so. Yes, I did. If you don't listen to all the shows, that's not my problem. But I will say this. I talked about this a little bit on Tuesday, and I want to repeat it now because I got a little bit more details. And I promised everyone Tuesday I was actually going to get the copy of the arrest report and all the details. You know, look, this is almost like the Terry Reynolds situation, but it's not. When Terry Reynolds got arrested at the airport, Mish and I were live doing Breakfast Soup. The news broke while we were doing the show. First thing we looked at was the amount of bond. And for people out there that don't know the difference between bail and bond, look it up. The short Cliff Notes version of it, when you hear that someone has to post $5,000 bail, they have to come up with $5,000. When they have to post $5,000 bond, on average, a bond costs 10% as far as cash. Now, you obviously have to have collateral. You know, when they tell you a $5,000 bond and you say, oh, it only costs $500 to get. Sure, that's right. But there's a reason why it's a $5,000 bond. Because if you don't appear, you forfeit that. You don't just buy a $5,000 bond for $500 without collateral. You have to have some collateral to back that shit up. They do credit checks and everything else. So when Terry Reynolds' bail was a tiny bond amount, you realize quickly that this is going to be blown out of proportion. And people were making this into a gigantic story, clickbait, and all this other shit. And the same thing happened again with Jeff Hardy. But I will add something to the Jeff Hardy situation that really concerns me. Okay? Jeff Hardy's bail was like a $200 bond. $20, everyone. $20. Now, on Monday, I gave everybody a little bit of a history lesson or just some info as far as how strict the police are at Myrtle Beach. If you're caught with an open container and you look come off as intoxicated, they're arresting your ass. If you're on the beach having a beer, having a cup of vodka, having some type of alcoholic beverage, and you keep to yourself and you're not displaying it, and a cop goes by and you keep it concealed, even if he smells it as he's going by, they usually will leave you alone. Problem with Jeff Hardy is that they're now reporting they found him passed out in a stairwell. Now, from what I read, from the information that I got, is, you know, passed out, like, compared to years ago. You remember that other story? Okay, nowhere near the same thing. All right, but earlier in the day, Jeff Hardy on Myrtle Beach, drinking some vodka, having some other alcohol. It's not against the law, although you're not supposed to have it on the beach. Had too much of it, sat down, fucking steps, fell asleep. Cops brought him in to have him sleep it off. That's why the fucking bail was $200 bond, $100 fine, and that is it. It is nothing, everyone. If it was a big deal, they wouldn't tell you you have to come up with $20 to buy a $200 bond to get out. But here's the thing that we didn't talk about on Monday because I wanted to get more info, and I mentioned it a little bit on Tuesday. I'm a little concerned for Jeff Hardy. All right, because for everybody out there listening, whether you just turned 21 and you're just loving the fact that you could go out and drink and not get in trouble for it, you don't have to use fake ID no more. If you're a little bit older and you like, you know, going out and having a couple of cold ones, or maybe you like to do a couple of shots of Remy Martin, or maybe you're an older person, or you're, you know, how many of you out there right now drink to the point of passing out? The last time that I came close to passing out drinking, I think I was 25 years old. I went to a club in Long Island, had fucking mind erasers. First time in my life. I remember going to this club in Long Island, Spratt's on the Water. I wonder if anybody out there remembers that place. Spratt's on the Water. I go there, the fucking bartender is there, the waitress. Me and my friends, we used to always, they used to go around, I don't know if they still do it now, but they used to go around with these little vials, like, look like medicinal vials, like test tubes. And they'd fill them up with, like, different colors of different shots and this and that. And we would buy a whole rack of the test tubes, and we would just have shots all night long. So this fucking waitress at the time, she says, oh, did you ever have a mind eraser? Now, I wasn't driving that night, but I said, you know what? Yeah, let me try it. I had two of them. There's a reason why they're called mind eraser. To this day, I don't even know what the fuck was in it. All I know is it tasted good. Then we went to a drive-through. I fucking threw up all over the place. We got back to Juniper Park because I still lived in Middle Village at the time. And my friends were hanging out at the park. And I remember just laying on the sidewalk. Nice fucking suit on. And I just laid on the sidewalk, staring at the stars, whacked out over my ass. I almost fucking fell asleep. And my friends told me, you go to sleep, we're leaving you here. You know, I was a chunky monkey at the time. I'm still chunky monkey now, 245 pounds. At the time, I was probably like 270, 280. You think they're just going to pick up 280 pounds of dead weight and fucking carry them home? No, they were going to leave me in the park. That's the last time that I can remember fucking drinking to the point of passing out. This guy has had issues with drugs in the past. Pain, surgeries, drinking. Now he's got a family. There is nothing wrong with having some drinks. All right, but when you drink to the point of passing out at his age, I'm a little concerned. I'm a little bit concerned. You know, last time when he had that auto accident last year, you know, a lot of goofs out there. And if you notice, all right, because I have a bet right now, one of our patrons, I haven't written the term goofy podcasters on Twitter for a week. I'm going to see if I could go to the end of July without using the term goofy podcaster. All right. Yes, I did call somebody a gump the other day, but for the most part, I'm not calling any podcasters or websites goofs on social media for the rest of the month. We'll see if I could keep to that. But, you know, come on. You saw all these goofs last year. It doesn't mean I can't say it on the show. You saw all these goofs last year fucking trying to guess all the damage. He hit the divider. He hit this. And he only made it. They ain't fucking had nothing. We got the actual report and saw what he actually damaged, and it was next to nothing. But this is what happens when people don't have sources. Or they fucking write dumb shit or clickbait stuff. And I'll segue into Harley Race, because Tuesday also we were wishing him best wishes. And Monday as well. He was in the hospital. We didn't know why. And look, you know, Harley Race has got a lot of medical issues right now. He looks frail. All right. That guy entertained me when I was growing up. Was I a huge Harley Race fan? No, absolutely not. Rugged, though, was fluent on the mic. You know, not charismatic in that sense, but he fucking elevated Ric Flair when Ric Flair needed to be elevated. You know, in the early 80s, Harley Race was awesome. Yeah, handsome Harley Race was more lighthearted when he went to the WWF, but he was at the tail end of his career. But when you see, you know, that he's in a hospital, you know, you get concerned now. So what happens? Some goof, I don't remember his name, but all the fucking websites wrote the same thing, and I'm like, are you all fucking retarded? The title of the article says, Harley Race gives an update on his health amidst hospitalization. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I expect to read a statement from Harley Race. Because again, the title says, Harley Race gives update. Now, if I say Harley Race gives update, that means Harley Race gives an update. I expected to open the article and read, I stepped on a nail, I passed out, I fell down a flight of stairs, I had a heart attack, I had a stroke, I ate too much calf's liver, I drank, I got shot, I got stabbed. Whatever Harley Race wants to say, I got a headache. Instead, you know what I read? I read the first sentence, and I'm reading it word for word right now. I never read shit word for word. I always see stuff, I do my research, and I give it to you, you know, in my own view. How many fucking goofs that do podcasts out there, they just read people shit word for word? I fucking hate that. Didn't like doing it in 1997. Don't like doing it in 2019. Harley Race has provided an update for fans following his hospitalization this past weekend. Race, who was hospitalized. Say that fast 10 times. Race, who was hospitalized and had to be pulled out of the Knoxville Fan Expo, has released a statement through his World League Wrestling Company. Okay? All right. He released a statement through his World Wrestling League. So his World Wrestling League is posting a statement for Harley Race. Let me read this to you. Pollock, whoever fucking wrote this article. Any update that have been wanting to know in regards to the boss's situation over the weekend. This past weekend, he was scheduled to attend the Knoxville Fanboy Expo. While traveling to Knoxville, he exhibited some signs that needed to be addressed by medical personnel. He's been in hospital since Thursday evening, where he currently is. Due to privacy concerns, no specific information will be given out about his current health status or anything of the sort. All that can be said is that Harley Race was, is, and will always be a fighter. He doesn't know anything else. Blah, blah, blah. He. Harley Race didn't provide no fucking update. Some goof for World League Wrestling fucking provided an update that we're not telling you what the update is. But you see these Pollocks on these websites. Harley Race gives update on health. No, he didn't. You read anything? This is why I don't like using fucking goof websites for news. I fucking cringe when stuff is brought up on the shows that I do because somebody with a Twitter account of 17 writes something. Hey, did you see what broke? And I'm not talking about Cole saying it. I'm talking about listeners in chat rooms and other stuff writing this stuff. So look, best wishes to Harley Race. The fact that we know so much about his medical problems of late, and the fact that they don't want to release publicly what brought him back into the hospital, say a prayer for Harley Race. That's all I'm saying. I know a lot of people are just writing it off like, you know, the update is there is no update. You're still in the hospital for almost a week, and nobody wants to tell anything, especially since there's a lot of information already out there. No, I'm a little concerned for Harley Race. Say a prayer for the guy. Seriously. Now, news coming out of StarCast. CM Punk will be at the Chicago event at All Out Weekend. And they're using the slogan GTS, Get the StarCast. I know, let the rumors fly that he's going to possibly appear on the event. It happened the last time. You know, AEW is not stupid. You know, and CM Punk's not stupid in either StarCast, and neither is Conrad or anyone else. It's smart business. If everybody who's going to attend, you know, they can meet CM Punk. If you want to fantasize that he might do a run-in or appear in AEW, by all means, do so. But there are no signs that CM Punk at this time is going to be in AEW. I know we all would love to see it before fucking CM Punk turns 50. And CM Punk, you know, look, he is bitter about wrestling, but he, you know, still uses wrestling to make a little bit of cash and autograph signings and meeting some of his hardcore fans. And I think fans that want to attend StarCast that are big CM Punk fans, this is an awesome opportunity. Now, yours truly was going to go to StarCast. I don't know if that is still happening. Not because CM Punk's going to be there and I'm blocked. No, it's not. But as of right now, if I go, it's just going to be myself and Mish that are going to be there. So apparently no one else is going to be able to go. Now, you know, it is kind of pricey to go, fly, stay there a couple of days. You know, I would love to go. I don't know. I don't even know when my surgery date's going to be for this fucking gallbladder shit. I got to get that shit taken out. And even after I get that taken out, there's no guarantee that the problems I'm having is going to be completely gone. So, you know, process of elimination. But as of right now, you know, it's still up in the air if I can go or not. But if I do go, I'm going to tell everybody right now that is planning on going to StarCast. If I go, I'm only going to be able to stay for probably 2 days at the most. Got personal things going on. Got a real job that I have to always put priority. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But as of right now, I still plan on going to WrestleMania next year in Tampa. I know myself, Mish, Joey Numbers, and Draper are all planning to get together once again. Maybe recreate the photo from WrestleMania weekend this year. And by the way, for everybody who's been waiting on that photo, I promise you all, I'm going to get that photo ordered this week. I already figured out how we were going to format it. I already have a photo company that did my promo photos when I used to do a little bit of bullshit managing in indie wrestling. So I will definitely have these photos within a week or two. And then my plan is to send a box of the photos probably to Mish first. Mish will sign them all. And then Mish will ship all the photos to Joey Numbers. Joey Numbers will sign under his face, his above his face, whatever we decide to do. Then he'll ship the box to Draper. Draper will sign all his, and then he'll ship the box to me. And then I'll be the guinea pig and the sucker that'll pay all the shipping charges to send the photos to all of you. But one thing I will tell you right now, for anybody that does want the photos signed by all four of us, I don't believe we're going to be charging for it. I mean, we thought about charging like $5 and like donate all the proceeds to a charity or something out there. But, you know, I think for everybody that wants one, we'll just send it to you. You know, now if you live in fucking Zimbabwe and it costs me $28 to ship a fucking photo, you know, we might have to have some a little bit of arrangements here. But for everyone else, I'm serious. I mean, for everybody, especially on Patreon, that have won prizes and contests, every single person that lives overseas has always gotten their shit. I just sent a signed Ultimate Warrior and Hogan photo to one of our friends that lives in Australia. And it's cool because he posted it online. It got there safely. I mean, I don't fuck around when it comes to the shipping stuff. I make sure everything is done the right way. I handle it all. I handle it all, and that's the way I prefer it to be. Now, before we go any further, I want to shout out our new and returning patrons, John Poirier, Mambo Mike, Brandon Hall, Joseph Napolitano, Douglas McKay, Leon Mays, Elmore Bing, Chris Harris, and our newest associate producer, Neil McLeod. I got your name right. Also, shout out to our associate producers, Tyxie Bowers, Vic Condor, Garcia Kane, CM Black Pixels, Jacob Esten, Michael John Buchanan, Stell, Jerry Stewart, Johnny Murray, Michael Westfall, Brandon Foley. Notice how everything so far has been wrestling? You know, I promised everyone, you know, this is, yes, we will have a little bit of blah, blah, blah mixed in with it. And, you know, we'll get into that momentarily. But I'll keep going back and forth, some wrestling, some not. And we have some questions from our patrons, some really good stuff. And for all of you out there that love the retro, like, wrestling hotlines, podcasts, you know, shows from yesteryear, I'm going to throw one out there that you go on YouTube right now and listen to tons of episodes, and you will absolutely love it. You probably never heard of it before. From the early 90s, Chuck Lentz, Tony, Chris Harris, Keith Daugherty, John Krauser, Roger Rubio, Fatty 316, Stan the Man Loud, and Don Tony's political advisor, D-Boy Gentleman, Ernesto Defensa, Timothy Keel, Kane Shaw, Jeffrey Collins, James Mills, Cockboy, Jay Smoothie, Tom Baffa, Joseph Nikoloff, and Tom, if you're listening, I want to make plans to come down to your restaurant in Westchester. Definitely PM me and let me know, like, what day is better to go, like a Saturday or if you're open a Sunday afternoon. Sure, I could go on Yelp and just look at your hours, but I want to actually meet you in person and shake your hand. I'm not looking for a free dinner. And motherfucker, if you try to give me something for nothing, I won't go. I'm dead serious. And by the way, for our patrons, I wasn't lying when I was telling you about the bullshit I went through the other day with the fucking eyeglass place. You know, for those out there that like to hear the non-wrestling stories, yours truly got fucked from an eyeglass place in my neighborhood. And if you know my neighbor, you could Google it. There's only one big eyeglass place over here. Those motherfuckers. I had to go and place another order through Glasses USA. And if you ever need glasses, everyone, and you have a prescription, GlassesUSA.com, I make no money off of them. I think most of all their stuff is outsourced from Japan. So I don't even think they speak English, just like I don't speak Japan. And but they do an awesome job. But the problem is you probably have to wait 2 weeks to get your shit. So check this out. I bought three pairs of glasses from Glasses USA about a year and a half ago. Fucking about a month ago, I fell asleep on my bed and I had my glasses on still. So lo and behold, I wake up and one of the arms on the handles, the arms, whatever they're called, they cracked off. And me, I need reading glasses to look on a computer, to read all your hate mail, you know, to watch porn. You know, if I don't wear glasses while I'm watching porn, I see three nipples. I can't tell if that's fucking hair or if it's just a fucking black clit. I mean, so I need to wear glasses. So anyway, I break them. I have three pairs, one for my office, one for the beach house where my parents live, and one for here. So the one over here broke. All right. I go to the beach house since I'm not there all that often, and I take the glasses from there. But I still need to replace them. So now the glasses, I originally bought them from Glasses USA. Yeah, if I send you these frames back, can you put them in new frames? No, we don't do that. Okay. I contact the glass place over here about a month ago. They're like, come in. I bring the lenses in. Oh, you didn't have them done here. So I lied. And I said, oh, I don't know. Those were my father's old glasses. They actually, I see beautiful through them. He gave them to me. I said, I don't even know if they're maybe 30 years old. I said, so I don't know where he got them. I'm like, but could you put these lenses in different frames? Oh, no, we have to cut them down. I'm like, how much is that going to be? I'm like, $50. All right, fine. So I give him the lenses. A couple of days later, your glasses are ready. I pick them up. I give him the $50. The lenses are about half the size of what they used to be, but at least they're my lenses. I could see again. I could whack off to pornxs.com, and I could read your hate mail. So now I got the glasses. So now, last week, I do the same goddamn thing again. But this time, I know to always take the glasses off. Somehow, I took the glasses off, and instead of putting them on my desk next to my bed, I put them next to me on my bed. I woke up the next day, part of the frames are cracked. Son of a bitch, second pair again. So now, all right, I go back to the glass place. So I dropped them off on Saturday. I get a different woman. Oh, you didn't get these done here. I said, yeah, they were my father's, this, this, and that. I'm like, but you sold me frames a month ago, and, you know, they were great. So could you do the same thing? So she pulls my records. Oh, we don't have those frames anymore. I'm like, you don't have something else? She's like, well, leave them here. All right, I'll leave them here. Let me know. They don't call me to tell me that, oh, we found something, this is how much it is. They just call me up on Monday and say, oh, they're ready. Oh, okay. I didn't even know you could do it, but cool. All right, cool. So now I don't know if these matarazzas get paid on commission. So I go on Monday to pick them up. Now, I have doctor's appointments this week. You know, I walk in, I see the lady at the counter. Yeah, I'm here to pick up some frames. I don't need to try them on. I don't need them to be fit. Just let me pay for them. Give me my frames and I leave. So she's like, oh, you sign in over here. We'll be right with you. I said, okay, no problem. I sign in. I look over by the chairs where you sit down and there's one other goof fucking waiting to be taken care of as well. They have like four girls there. Now, all four girls were with people. But I'm saying to myself, okay, no big deal. You know, the next girl that becomes available, they'll help the guy that's sitting there. And then the one after that, they'll take care of me. So I wait about 15 minutes. One of the customers is finished. They take the person, sit next to me. I'm next. All right. So now, second customer is finished. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to get called. You know, let me pay my money, get this. I got my doctor's appointment at 3 o'clock. So she's finished. She starts looking at a fucking cosmetic magazine. And I'm looking in the corner of my eye, and because I didn't want to see, I was looking at her, and she's just reading a magazine. I'm saying to myself, hello, I'm here, and blah, 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 blah. All right, fine, whatever. Next girl finishes up with a customer, and she's there for about 5 minutes. So for 10 minutes, I'm sitting there, and two girls are finished, and then they start talking to each other. And they're talking about whatever they were talking about. And I'm saying to myself, there can't be a special person here just to hand me my frames and me to hand my cash. A fucking janitor could do that. So I don't say nothing. I'm quiet. Next thing I know, some fucking goof walks in and he goes right up to one of the girls. Oh, how you doing? How's blah, blah, blah. And they're talking. Oh, you know, how was Greece? And I'm saying to myself, I got to get fucking out of here. So I go to the woman at the receptionist, the one that greets you, and I said, look, do you know how much longer it'll be? And she says, somebody will be right with you. I said, okay, no problem. I sit back down. So 5 minutes go by. Next thing I know, I hear this guy tell the girl that was reading the magazine, yeah, I'm here to pick up a couple of glasses. Oh, sure. Let me go get them in the back. Now I'm getting pissed off because I'm sitting here this whole time. Now my thinking is that they get paid on commissions and he's got glasses. Now I bought glasses there before and they're like $700 for two pairs. Me, I got $40, $50 frames. What commission could you get off to that? Buy a fucking Starbucks coffee? So I'm sitting there and she's giving him the glasses. He's looking at them. He's trying them on. And meanwhile, the other girl is just there doing nothing. She walks over and starts talking to the customer. I was like, you know what? Fuck this shit. I told the woman at the counter that greet you and walked down. I'm like, look, throw my lenses in the garbage. I'm done. So she's like, no. Somebody's like, so she calls that woman over. I was like, no. I don't fucking think so. I said, I've been sitting here for 20 extra minutes while they're looking at cosmetic magazines, talking about Greece. This guy walks in, and because he's got a couple of pairs of glasses, you make me sit for another 20 minutes. I said, come to my fucking deli next time. And when you're the next person online that needs fucking ham, I'm going to tell the clerks to not help you, to just stand there and talk about fucking wrestling a whacking off. I didn't say whacking off. And then they'll wait until the next customer walks through the door and they'll help that person instead and talk about Greece and see how you feel. I was like, shove the glasses up your ass, and I left. So now I'm thinking to myself, all right, I kind of fucked up because now I don't got my lenses. And I'm like, all right, well, maybe they'll call and apologize, but there was no need for them to make me sit there an extra 20 minutes while they look at cosmetic magazines and talk about Greece and this fucking dick that walks in because he's got a couple of... No, man. I fucking sat there like a goof for 40 minutes. So I'm expecting maybe I'll get a phone call and an apology. And then if that's the case, you know, I'll go back. No phone calls, no nothing. So I told everybody the story. And somebody said to me, why don't you fucking post a negative review on Yelp? I said, you know what? It's a good idea. So I think some people out there on Patreon thought, you know, he's probably full of shit about this one. He ain't going to post a review. I posted a review. And what I wrote is almost word for word of what I just said without the expletives. So now I had to go on Glasses USA. I bought two more pairs, $250. Believe this shit? These motherfuckers. Shout out to Nick O'Time, Michael Rhino, Paul Convoy, Adam DeMoy, Billy Taylor, Asano Hashmi, Brent Webster, Aaron Kloss, Out in the Here, Anthony Smith, James Grusel, Mark Israel, Bob O'Mac, CJ Uihara, Chris Mann, James Deal, Switch Babe, Courtney Summers, Diogo Nobre, John Coffey, Tim Everhart, Andrew 914, Donald J. Trump, Russell Zavala, Merle Coons Jr. Merle, by the way, congrats once again for winning the predictions contest. Oh, and by the way, for everyone who does partake in that, the prize wall is still as it was before. Merle chose the cash prize. So, Merle, your Benjamins will be on their way tomorrow. Douglas McKay, Keith Lee, James Farmer, John Garcia, Mad Dog No Good, Larry Trailer, Tommy Pakeshi, Zach Spudamore, Chris Lumna, Rich Mahar, Julian LeBlanc, Big Red Brandon Rice, Carl Butoiki, Cheese of Rice, The Metaphor Isaac Fox, Spider Lewin, Rob McKay, Brian Byrne, Daniel Warren, and Michael Cuomo. Thank you, as always. They are associate producers. They, along with other patrons, are the reason why these shows are still free for everyone. And if you want, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/DonTony. You know, as little as $2, you could sign up. You get a boatload of exclusive content in return. You know, we got hundreds of Patreon-exclusive shows already up there because we've been on there now for a couple of years. You sign up, you have access to all of that. It's not just what's going to be recorded in the future. So sign up because you really help us a big way with the expenses that we have and then some. So now let's get into some other tidbits of news, some questions. A lot of it has to do with wrestling, by the way. They are advertising Shawn Michaels to be doing guest commentating on Tuesday SmackDown. That means somebody is obviously not going to be there. I don't know who of the three are not going to be there. I don't think they'll do a four-man booth. But let's see if this turns into any type of a segment storyline. Does Elias get involved with Michaels? I don't know. But Shawn Michaels, guest commentator, why not? Why not? You know, if he piques a little interest. I saw the SmackDown rating this week, you know, went up a little bit compared to last week. Bischoff did reveal online that this coming Tuesday SmackDown will be the first with him involved. I have to use the word involved because, again, I know a lot of just about everybody out there never bothered to talk about this. I noticed it day one. I find it interesting. I understand WWE's got to be very unique with certain job titles and words, and they try to be overly creative sometimes. But the fact that they couldn't just use executive producer, that they had to use cutesy tweaking of words, and now they're calling Heyman and Bischoff executive directors, the fuck does that even mean? You know, oh, he's the executive director. He directs what goes down. All right, yeah, but you know what? If he's directing a certain script, here, this is what we want. You know, do it your way. Yeah, but I don't like this feud, this storyline, this match, this is. Yeah, but you're the director. Cut. You understand what I'm saying? I'm excited to see Bischoff and Heyman being involved in creative. I already talked about how the brand extension, the draft needs to happen. This wild card thing needs to stop. If we're going to have separate people putting their creative input on separate brands, someone who Heyman may think is the next heavyweight champion, Bischoff might think is a goof. How do you utilize someone on the opposite show and not interfere with said storyline? I don't like the wild card with this format. If it turns into a mole, a storyline for Survivor Series, fine. But to just have people show up at will for no particular reason, you know, we have to still remember, they have not acknowledged on television yet that Heyman is the executive director of Raw and Bischoff is the executive director of SmackDown. Remember, they announced Foley and Daniel Bryan a couple of years ago. They announced Bischoff and Stephanie in 2002. They announced Foley when he first was being semi-retired. You know, they have not announced it publicly on television yet. It has to be announced publicly. And once it announced publicly, then it obviously could tweak into a storyline because maybe Bischoff doesn't want someone from Raw to show up as a wild card and you throw him out of the building. And that causes tension. I'm talking storyline-wise. Just because you're an executive director means that you're an on-air character as well. As an executive director, I got to be very clear, because Heyman is an executive director, but he's also Brock Lesnar's consultant, advisor, manager, whatever you want to call him. So, but they haven't mentioned Heyman being executive director. So executive director doesn't necessarily have to be an on-air character. So we'll see what happens. Let them announce it. Then we could fantasize where the storylines go from here. There's a lot of speculation. A lot of people have some great thoughts out there. But all those thoughts are not until we know that those executive director positions are acknowledged on television. Not just the website, on television. Because remember, television, from start to end, it is a soap opera. It is entertainment. I know people were getting their balls in a bunch that it was reported everywhere that Daniel Bryan's going to make an earth-shattering announcement on SmackDown. That was as a preview. That wasn't news. But you see all these goofs on websites.
Are you news? Daniel Bryan needs an announcement and he's going to retire.
You fucking turned it into news, goofs. I didn't. I don't remember us talking about it. You know what I mean? When things are advertised for the shows, and WWE's not writing it as a news item, but more as a preview of the show. When you watch, seriously, and I want to put this in perspective for a minute. You choose any show you want on watch on TV. Let's use something random. L.A. Law. Right? And they announce on L.A. Law that someone is going to quit the force. What would happen if entertainment news sites reported as news that blah, blah, blah was quitting the force? You see where I'm going with this? You want to make it news because you ain't got no connections. It's ridiculous. I love when TV news or entertainment with WWE is teased as a preview of a show to try to get you to tune in. What Daniel Bryan decides to say and not say as far as the show, because there's a difference between news and a TV preview. And when you see all these goofs turning TV previews and trying to interpret it as news, you deserve to get trolled. And that's what happens. They get suckered. And then they get all angry. Because what did you see the news reports on Wednesday? Advertised announcement does not happen. That wasn't news, dopey. You shouldn't have fucking written it as news. You want to tweet about it with your friends? Fine. You want to write it as news? You deserve to get burned. And I think Mish, I haven't really had a chance to be on Facebook this week, but I do get little alerts when my closest friends write stuff. And Mish wrote that he loves how these dopey websites are falling for that stuff. He thinks it should happen more, and I couldn't agree more. I love when shit like that happens because you got to separate the two. Now, look, if you advertise for ticket sales that something major is going to go down and it doesn't, okay, that's kind of fucked up. But when you announce it as a TV preview an hour or two before, you think that there was a plethora of people who were home and because in the area and because they announced Daniel Bryan's man, I got to buy tickets. I got to go. I gotta go check it out. I gotta see live in person something historic. He could be going on. Why do I sound like Yosemite Sam? Something historic going on. I gotta be there in person to see it.
Oh, he just trolled everybody.
No, no, no. WWE trolled the fucking goofs. I love it. I love it. Paul, you don't need to call me Godfather. You all out there want to call me Podfather? All right, I'll take that. You know, I mean, yeah, I know most of you out there go back to the Minority Report days, Don Tony, Kevin Cashel days. But remember, yours truly's been doing this shit since 1997. I'm approaching year 23. So you want to call me the Podfather because, you know, I'm the Godfather? That's fine. All right. But, you know, I don't like Godfather because I'm not a Godfather. I'm just a regular guy like all of you out there. Swear to God. And I it's funny because when I met so many of you in Brooklyn, WrestleMania weekend, the one, actually it was three things that kept being repeated to me. Number one, how personal you take the shows, that you get through a lot of problems that you've had over the years. And I fucking love that, because before I started doing hotlines, other hotlines is what got me through a lot of problems. That's what led me to starting a hotline in 97. There's a lot more to that. It's a very complicated story to talk about right now. I don't have too much time left because I got to record Kev Cassel with his Dark Chronicles later. But I have time still to do this show. But, you know, it's a lot more than that. But, you know, people telling me, oh, you know, your shows helped me get through this, helped me get through that. That's powerful, man. You can't put a price tag on that. The second thing, and by the way, if the noise sounds a little bit different over here, my air conditioner just went off. It is baking hot over here. It was like in the 90s all day. The second thing that everybody was telling me was, you know, my God, stop telling everybody that you're just, you know, you're a regular person like everybody else. You're not. No, I am. I'm a regular person just like everybody else. I am not a celebrity. It's weird. I'm serious, guys, gals. You know, you want to, and look, there's some people that say this that I have no idea that say this, but I'm just saying it in general. If any fucking regular human being out there that does a podcast, just because you do it for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, doesn't make you a legend, doesn't make you an originator, doesn't make you any of this other stuff. It just means that you're doing it for a long time. And there are people out there that think they're famous. And it's like, I'm like nodding my head like, are you kidding me? You're famous, but people don't want to show their faces online, that you don't even know what the fucking person is, that everything that they fucking say, there's no backup or proof or nothing documenting it, that you're famous. No, you're weird and you're lonely and insecure. That's what you are. So anyway, and the third thing was, is like, you know, I know everything's tongue in cheek humor, but sometimes you piss me off with the red. I annoyed people the other day because of my Tony Khan impersonation. Why does it sound the way it does? And I answered people online, the same reason why every person that's Italian sounds like a Joe Pesci Jersey Shore reject. Just like every Jewish person I talk about sounds like Jackie Mason. Just like every fucking Russian person sounds like fucking Vladimir Blah 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 Kanoff. I mean, I just do the impersonations, whatever. You don't like it? Too bad. That's all I have to say. But anyway, was SmackDown the drizzling shits? The Shane Town Hall, yeah, was goof. I mean, it was all designed for Kevin Owens to hit the stunner. And yes, it seemed like the stunner was botched. I don't know for sure, but all I know is on the replays, they edited it, you know, quite nicely. You know, but hey, Bischoff's going to start Tuesday. I don't expect miraculous changes overnight. I don't expect a huge surge in the ratings changing overnight. I mean, let's be honest. A lot of people feel that Paul Heyman had his fingers. That's how people reported it. Paul Heyman had his fingers all over Raw the last 2 weeks. Well, explain to me why the ratings are worse now than what they were 2 weeks ago. You know, I always think back at WCW in 2000. I don't remember what wrestlers said it on the Monday Night Wars, you know, the series that WWE did. But one thing that always stuck out to me is you could have the greatest roster in the world, but if the product, the storylines, if everything surrounding it is not entertaining or it's garbage, you could have the greatest people there and you're not going to be able to get people to tune in. Paul Heyman is not going to be the rating savior right off the bat. You know, this is a damaged product right now. WWE has a great foundation, though. You look at, you take the stars, even the ones that you like that are misused. I always say piece of paper, but you look at the complete roster and you highlight all the people that you think are extremely talented, the ones that are being used the right way, the ones that are not being used the right way, the ones that should get a bigger push. I don't think there's any other company in the world that has that many talented stars. Yes, New Japan has a solid roster. AEW, you know, they're building still. We don't know their full roster yet. So you can't compare AEW to this. It's unfair to AEW. But, you know, just for numbers-wise, WWE, top, you know, notch as far as entertainment goes. So they have a solid foundation. Are there going to be a plethora of Hall of Famers on his current roster or under the age of 25? I don't know. So this is not going to be an overnight change. You know, when people get, oh my God, you know, Raw with Paul Heyman run to the, what happened 2 weeks ago? It went up 7%. Oh my God. And then 2 weeks later, it's back down. So what does that mean? You can't get overly excited because there's a little bump, and you can't, you know, do the opposite when there's a little decline. You have to look at a trend. And I always have said this the last year and a half. You could look it up for yourself. To me, WWE has been Shangata for quite some time. It's got a lot of bright moments, without a doubt. But overall, I think the product is not as good as what it was 10 years ago. I don't think anybody would argue that. Younger fans may argue with it, but, you know, I just tend to disagree. But if you look at the night they had the Hell in a Cell with Strowman against Reigns, I think it was, when they changed that camera lighting and then Lesnar interfered and it became like a no contest. Hell in a Cell. It wasn't fully the special guest referee. You look at the ratings following that and you could see like a decline and a steady decline. For me, the last 2+ years where WWE went a notch down was that pay-per-view since. So it's going to take some time. But hey, I'm a wrestling fan. I'm committed. You know, personal life and health and, you know, real work and stuff may get in the way in the future as far as doing shows. You know, I plan on doing more shows, but doing them shorter. But I'm still a wrestling fan. I don't need to do a show to be a wrestling fan. And I'm confident that I'll be a wrestling fan to the day I die. I have stuck through it in times of greatness, in times of shittiness. The cartoon era, the fucking dopey gimmicks, the Monday Night Wars, the Attitude Era, the fucking whatever era you want to talk about. So I'm going to stick around. Well, let's hope that it gets better. And thank you, Paul, as well. A lot of people have reached out to me the last week, especially about gallbladders being removed. I'm shocked as far as how many of you listening that have had their gallbladders removed. Mish had his removed. Now, as far as the keto diet I'm on, yeah, it's going to complicate things. I plan on staying on this diet. You know, I'm down to 245, 247. You know, last week I was up to 250. I kind of cheated a little bit. I needed to cheat a little bit. You know, I didn't have anything I wasn't supposed to. I just had too much of what I am allowed to have. But now I'm back down to 246. I want to get down to 225. Don't want to go beyond that. I'm 6'4". So I think anything below 225, 230, I'm going to look ridiculously bad. But, you know, I the only thing different with the keto diet is instead of me having one gigantic meal a day, I'm going to have to break it up into 2 or 3 meals a day. So, and he says he realizes all the drool over Brandi Rhodes. He can't stand her. I don't have any problem with Brandi Rhodes. I honestly don't. I mean, I'm not kissing her ass. I honestly could care less, you know, about a lot of these people personally. If you entertain me on TV, fine. She's there to support AEW. She's there to support her husband. She's a character as well. She is attractive. She goes out of her way to show off her figure online. And a lot of people eat it up. And the funny thing is that, you know, some of the biggest critics of her are privately using Jigel Rags. I'm convinced of that. You know, it is what it is. But I have no problem with her. And honestly, if you don't like her, then ignore her. You know how many, like, shows out there that I can't stand, like from the Kardashians to all these other shows? I've never watched an episode. If I don't like something, I don't watch it. I don't listen to it. I honestly only listen to like one or two other podcasts out there, mostly because I don't have time to listen to others. I feel if I have a lot of free time, then I should spend it making myself a better person. You know, doing something personally for my girl or visiting my family or cleaning my house or taking care of bills or doing shopping. Or if I want to do it wrestling related, maybe give my listeners a little bit extra. Maybe do a few things to try to make my stuff even better. You know, if I fucking spend that free time listening to 30 other podcasts and gushing over other people's stuff, then my stuff will, you know, suffer because of it. Anyway, Braun Strowman announced on Instagram, signed a 4-year deal with WWE. Not the 5-year deal, but the 4-year deal. I think that's great. I wonder if WWE wanted to ink him long-term before they go ahead and blow their load, giving him a championship run. Not a fucking Nick tag team title reign, but a heavyweight championship run. I expect, and I have said this on the shows for the past couple of weeks, I honestly feel, it's not necessarily a prediction, but it's just a feeling and a hope that before the end of 2019, Braun Strowman is a heavyweight champion. You want to wait till Mania? Okay, fine. But Strowman is not that Mania moment. You know what I mean? Like, there's some people, Kofi, WrestleMania moment. You know, Sasha and Bayley, you know, losing the titles at Mania, not a WrestleMania moment. Eddie Guerrero, WrestleMania moment. Benoit, WrestleMania moment. Daniel Bryan, WrestleMania moment. Some other wins, not a WrestleMania moment. You know, shock value, Undertaker losing. Reigns beating Taker, WrestleMania moment? No. But my point is that Braun Strowman's character, you don't want that middle of the ring, crying tears of joy. And it's said, no, he's supposed to be a monster. So it's cool if he wins at Mania, but honestly, I don't think you need to wait to Mania for him to get the belt. I think it should happen sooner. We'll see what happens. James Moss, if I could pass one law either in my state, nationally, or internationally, or one for all three, what would I pass and why? A law? I don't know, man. I like requirements. I think the internet, there has to be, there can't be this much anonymity. I think you could do simple things like if you protest, you can't wear a mask, you can't conceal your identity. Yes, and I don't mean to sound like a controversial asshole right now, but if they pass the law, I thought about this. If they pass the law like Antifa, where they all wear masks because they're pussies, they don't want their faces on camera, they want to get away with criminal shit without being exposed, I could see it. And I know this is probably something you should never say, but I'll say it anyway, because that's who I am. I can't stand people who talk on both sides of their mouth because they just can't handle criticism or backlash. But you could picture it now. If Antifa fucking would turn around and forced that if they protest that they can't wear masks, they'll all act like Muslims. They'll all wear that garb that have to cover their faces as far as women go. They will try to use other ways to conceal their face. Now, for people that are going to come back with the follow-up question, should Muslims have to show their face as well? No, I don't believe that at all. However, if you're going to have some type of an identification, like a driver's license or a passport or some type of ID, I think you have to show your whole face. There has to be some type of, you'd have, put it this way, if you didn't have to show your whole face on a form of ID, what are you going to do? Analyze people's eyes? You understand what I'm saying? So I just feel that as far as protesting go, that you can't conceal your identity. But I also think on the net, there has to be something as far as this anonymity goes, because, you know, the idea that people could just troll and troll and troll and not be held accountable for a lot of the stuff that they do is a little bit ridiculous. There has to be a little bit more as far as tracking to, so you could get, I mean, look, you go to an internet cafe, there's not much you could do about it, you know, but this idea of blocking IPs so you can't show like where you're, you know, doing your illegal activities from or harassing people from, I think that needs to, you know, be put by the wayside. So I understand when we all like our bootleg pay-per-views, AEW and stuff, and we use an international IP to pay $10 instead of $40. Yeah, I know it comes into play, but still, I think there's got to be a little bit more regulation with that. Andrew 914, if my job was to fix the decline on baseball, example, empty seats, what would I do? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I will tell you that this year I have been a lot less interested in baseball than years past. I don't know why. I don't see anything that has changed. Maybe the level of superstars or the level, I think just marketability. I think if you just market names a little bit more, I think it would just be a whole lot different. I don't know. I mean, let's be honest. I've been a baseball fan going back to, you know, I mean, look, when I was a kid, a toddler, a fucking preteen, when my father used to take me to games, you know, I mean, that's the late 70s. But I've been a fan of baseball around the same time I became a fan of wrestling. And there's been times through the years that there's been a little bit of a decline. You know, there were parts of the 80s that weren't all that spectacular. You know, you had some stadiums. I mean, competitive games. Let me say it like this. The idea that a baseball game goes 3.5 hours, I don't think is the reason why people don't watch or don't go. I just think it's cyclical. I think you can't force stars, and you can't force, you know, larger than life characters or charismatic baseball players. You know, some eras there's more than others. And, you know, I don't think baseball has a problem right now. Now, in some areas, you know, you may not want to have stadiums there. I think Florida, unfortunately, is not the greatest hotbed for baseball. But when you get playoff time and there are still in the playoffs a Florida team like the Rays, yeah, you do have a better attendance. But, you know, maybe you lower ticket prices, you know, because I do know, because I've been to games, you know, you go with 4 people, you're a dad. I mean, my father used to take me. I mean, my God, how much did he spend? Take me and my brother and my mom. The whole trip from driving there, having a pretzel, a knish, watching the game, a souvenir, coming back home. How much did he spend? $50? Yeah, you can't compare finances from the 70s to now, but the point is, you go fucking to a baseball game right now, you're paying $50 just for fucking hot dogs, soda, and, you know, a program. Not even including the tickets, not even including the parking and all the other shit involved. I think it's gotten too expensive. And unfortunately, you have these $300 million deals with no, you know, stopping in sight. You know, somebody's got to pay. I always say that. You know, nothing is free. Somebody's ultimately got to pay. Big Sexy Jinder, my thoughts on MGTOW and the male chauvinistic pigs. For people that don't know what that is, MGTOW stands for Men Going Their Own Way. It's an organization of guys that are just fed up with the stereotypes that they take care of the women, that they're this, they're that, they're this. Honestly, I pay no attention to it. My feeling is that there are people out there that need to be part of something. That is the number one reason why you see grown-ass adults on social media talking about things that make them look 15 years old. Seriously, you look at some of people that we all mutually know, you know, wrestling, outside of wrestling, friends, relatives, and you see them on social media, like using these emojis, writing these goofy jokes, you know, writing all this stuff, and you could see they're just desperate for attention. They want their comments to be seen. You know, I mean, just picture somebody, you know, how do I say this the right way? If your age is bigger than your waistline and you're writing goofy 2-3 sentences on a computer over and over and over again, you know, with catchy little things. Now, look, we watch wrestling and wrestling is live and you're giving immediate thoughts. We all, because look, I have no problem with that. And I'll tell you why. If all of us, everybody listen, if we were in my house right now, drinking, having a barbecue, eating pizza, whatever, and we're watching Raw, and there's stuff going down good and bad, we're all going to be talking to each other. Well, oh, did you just see that? Holy shit, he did that. Oh my God, he did this and that. We'll be talking to each other. On Twitter, that's what you're doing. We're all talking to each other. So I have no problem with that. But when you got people that are just posting one-liners about every little thing and this, this, and that, look, you want to post a health update, something happened at work, little experience, some major news going down in the real world, and you want to give your view, by all means. But there's people out there that just write things simply because they need to get noticed. They need to feel part of a group. They need to get likes back. And to me, that's what that organization is. I see some of the guys that are involved with it. Most of them have been burned big time by women. And, you know, look, if you're really burned, you know, in a relationship and really, really hurt over it, you know, there are people, and I know that some of you listening probably have gone through this, that you feel that it's going to affect you for the rest of your life. There's nothing wrong with someone being bitter because of what has happened before. Look, you know, when I got my marriage annulled in 1999, I vowed I was never going to get married again. Saturday, I went ring shopping. You know what I mean? Like, I can't shut myself off from possibly having another great relationship because of one asshole that I met in the 90s. You know what I mean? These guys, look, if they want to be part of an organization that they don't like women anymore, that they don't want to, let them. Let them. You know, just as long as they respect people who totally disagree with their views, and at the same time, you could respect but respectfully disagree what they view. I just pay no attention to it. But there's an organization out there for everything. Roger Rubio, what was the best moment from the Attitude Era? What was the worst moment? Same with the Ruthless Aggression Era. Same with the Reality Era. Match, memory. I don't know, man. I see, Roger, that is so hard. And this is not a cop-out answer. I will answer it in detail without an answer. You got to understand something. The Attitude Era developed. The Attitude Era didn't just happen overnight. Yes, Vince McMahon had an announcement with the roster, and he, you know, did that one promo, you know, good guy versus bad guy. You know, you could pick out individual moments, but it progressed. It progressed with the sign of the times. It progressed because of Jerry Springer, Girls Gone Wild, Ultimate Fighter was new, Extreme was innovative. I mean, there was so many things politically incorrect. My God, it didn't happen overnight. It built and it built and it built and it built. You know, if you want to talk about defining moments, I know a lot of people always like to go to, you know, the finger poke of doom. Oh, there were many other moments before then. You know, people want to focus on one particular. No, you can't do that. There was no best moment or worst moment. You can have your favorite moments. I still stay to this day. Jericho's debut on Monday Night Raw is my favorite moment in the history of Monday Night Raw. My favorite moment, bar none. You know, I had favorite moments watching WCW. I've had moments that absolutely sucked. That's one of the reasons why I'm doing a history show. I get to throw out some clips, sound bites, matches. How many times have some of you PM'd me privately or emailed me and said, holy shit, I didn't even know about that promo or know about that match or know about this or know about that? You know, it's... You can't put any one moment on there. You know, look, I think the Benoit tragedy changed things dramatically since they were going PG. Regardless, it's the sign of the times. They weren't going to be anti-PC because the times were changing. 9/11 happened. There's a lot of things that went down, man. Even when 9/11 happened, it took probably 6 or 7 years to fully transform and get out of that, you know, real raunchy content. My God, you know, I just yesterday, because I'm working on next week's history show, I'm trying to sneak it in with all everything going on. And, you know, it's the anniversary of when Cena, who was feuding with The Undertaker, cut that promo in the graveyard where he took a leak on a tombstone to simulate he was pissing on The Undertaker's grave. And he used, like, some references that some people would call homophobic slurs and stuff like that. Nobody's ever going to bring that up today. I think yesterday was the anniversary of it. But it's things like that that I get to bring out that maybe a lot of people forgot about, never knew about, never heard of before. No, look, I always felt that Vince McMahon getting blown up in the limo was, to me, you know, if you really had to, you know, pick like a symbol, maybe that's when Attitude died. I know it wasn't dead at that particular time. It was already pretty much done. But you can't put individual moments. We have our favorite memories, but no, best and worst, I could spend all night talking about it. Jason Allen, this is great. Did I ever listen to Pro Wrestling Spotlight's radio show in the 80s and the 90s with John Arezzi? Yes, I did. I enjoyed it. John Arezzi is still around. I think he's gotten his second wind. As far as wrestling goes, I don't think John Arezzi will ever hear me saying this, but John Arezzi, thank you for me as a kid fucking listening to his stuff. I loved it. It was great. He knew Georgianne Mikropoulos. Georgianne used to speak fondly of John Arezzi. Georgianne, for the people out there that don't know who she is, Google it, look it up. She was like my aunt. She was awesome. She helped me with the Conan drive. She did so many things for me personally. Me and her used to play online fucking gambling to the wee hours in the morning. Fucking, and I swear on my mother, I have the proof. When we start doing video and I could show you screenshots. Now, this is what I talk about when I say, look at these goofs online that tell you, oh my God, I had this happen to me today. Oh my God, you had to see what showed up at my door. Oh my God, you had to see what I just witnessed. Oh my God. And they never snap a photo. They never post anything. You don't have to do it to prove us. But why wouldn't you do it for your own memories? Your own fucking safekeeping. That's like your photo album for memories. I know this is sad when I say this. And it's happened twice. Bison Smith, God rest his soul. Georgianne Mikropoulos, God rest her soul. Other than their real life family and friends that they were around at the time that they passed, I was the last person that they both talked to online before they passed on. I have an email from Bison Smith 2 hours before he died. I have an email from Georgianne Mikropoulos, not even an hour before she died. No, I'm not bad luck or anything like that, but I saved it because it's the last conversation I ever had with both of them. And they were really, really cool people. Georgianne, look, Bison Smith was a talented wrestler. We talked about wrestling outside. Always wanted to meet up with him. Never had the opportunity to do so. Told me hilarious fucking stories about Puerto Rico. Oh, my God. I wish I could. Unfortunately, I can't put a lot of that stuff online because there's no way for me to prove it. It would be so many people slandered. You have no idea. I mean, I've kind of teased a little bit in the past. You know, I don't want to throw out any names right now, but Georgianne was just wonderful. But she used to sing the praise for John Arezzi. John Arezzi is good people. I'm glad he's still around. He's posting a lot of memories. But talk about a kid. growing up or a teenager. And, you know, having access to Meltzer's newsletter, but wanting a wrestling radio show before the internet? My man, you go on YouTube right now. For those who live outside the U.S., you want to know what I grew up listening to during my late teens, early 20s? WFAN. How many of you out there, even if you don't even live in New York, know about that sports station, Mike and the Mad Dog? Come on. Sports Radio 66, WFAN. Well, back in the early 90s, they used to have a wrestling show. Went 1 hour, late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. Unfortunately, my boom boxes at the time didn't have timers on it, so I would have to wake up and either hit record on the cassette or listen to it live. But I can't tell you how many times in the early 90s I used to come home from a club, 3 o'clock in the morning after we go out to eat, and I'm driving home from Long Island or Jersey, whatever it is, and I'd have WFAN blasting. Jody McDonald, Rich Mancuso, and a few others. Steve something, I can't remember his name right now. Steve Sanders, I don't remember. But you go on YouTube right now, and somebody did what I did back in the day, what a lot of other people did. Unfortunately, I didn't keep mine. He or she recorded the shows when they aired and kept them and now started putting them online over the years. And if you want to hear what we used to listen to at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night on WFAN, it's on YouTube right now. And look, keep in mind, please, when you listen to them, they're not Meltzers, they're not Kellers, they're not, you know, legitimate, you know, journalists in wrestling. They were journalists in sports, but they wanted to do a wrestling show, and I thought they did a pretty damn good job with it. You could hear them, you know, exaggerating a little bit. You know, I didn't really talk, you know, I didn't talk to this person yet, but, yeah, because you really didn't have the connections you portrayed it to be, but it was still awesome shows. So, yeah, they were great back in the day, and the cool thing is, like I said, a lot of them are on YouTube right now. D-Boy Gentleman, is it better to buy a home or pay rent? I don't know, man. It depends on your income. See, in New York, I think not even paying rent, I think owning a condo or a co-op is the way to go. Problem with a house, the property taxes are insane. I have people in my neighborhood over here because I do insurance for them. They come to me with their tax bills. They're paying $8,000, $9,000 a year for property taxes. You have to have a second apartment. You have to have a two-family house, some for a lot of people, just to be able to afford the house because you got to rent it out to a tenant, and the tenant is technically paying for your mortgage payment or your tax payment. You think about it. You own a house around where I live. You know, you got a mortgage. You got insurance. You have taxes. Right there, you're talking $2,000 plus a month, easily, maybe more. You're not even talking about food, telephone, electric, gas, water, going out, dinner. It's crazy. So it depends on where you live. Now, I've said a few times, my parents are gone. Hopefully it's not for several decades from now, even though they're in their 70s and I'm realistic. I think once they're gone, I think I'm out of New York, man. I think I want to go someplace quiet. Not expensive. I don't care about driving 15 minutes to get milk. I'll fucking Amazon everything. Let UPS drive to my house, motherfucker. Even if you have to drive 5 hours into the fucking hills and the mountains. I think I'm out of here. Don Tony's political advisor. What would be my personally dream VIP package to a future WrestleMania? A dream VIP package? Honestly, I'm not lying when I say this. This is not pandering. I swear to you, it's not pandering. But my ultimate VIP package to a WrestleMania, it could be in New York. It could be in Florida. As long as it's good weather, I would want a section, rent it out, and have all of my extended family, everybody listening, there hanging out. I don't need a skybox. I don't need front row seats. Give me a fucking little section where we could all just have a ball and enjoy ourselves, not cause trouble, not be rowdy, not, you know, making outrageous chants that Alexa Bliss might complain about online. You see all that the last couple of days? You know, look, you can't win the argument online about that, whether you agree with Alexa Bliss or you disagree. Me, in my own personal opinion, wrestling is entertainment. If you don't entertain someone, you go to a movie. If you star in a movie, and the movie sucks, and people boo the fucking movie screen as they walk out of the theater, are you going to call that rude and obnoxious and disgusting? And blah, blah? No, your movie sucked. Your performance sucked. They spent their money to watch the movie. They didn't like it. They booed. Those wrestling fans did not like that match. Alexa Bliss, in my opinion, had no right to open her mouth because she stood outside the ring for about 80% of the match. Sure, that may not be her fault as far as it not clicking, but, you know, look, sometimes you got to suck it up and say, look, the fans weren't, you know, entertained, so they entertained themselves. They don't wish ill on Natty or Nikki or Natty or Alexa or anybody else in the match. They don't mean any ill will. They weren't entertained. It went on too long in their opinion, so they entertained themselves. That's how I look at it. They didn't mean malice by it. I don't blame Alexa Bliss for being offended. Who wants to be criticized like that? I don't blame her, but sometimes you got to just shut up. Keep quiet. You don't want them to do that again? Do a better job. You know, nobody's perfect. I do shows. They suck sometimes. Sometimes, you know, I'm on a phone call trying to help a customer with a problem with an insurance company, and I fail. I don't sweet talk, you know, get my way. Sometimes you go on a date, and the date doesn't go out, end up well. You know, just because you're a performer on TV, it ain't fucking, oh, I aced it every single time. You know, sometimes you got to be overly critical of your stuff. If you're never content on what you do, you're always trying to improve it. I am never happy with what I do, and I'm not comparing myself to a wrestler in the ring. My point is that, you know, sometimes you have to accept the fact that you're just sometimes not good. Sometimes it doesn't work. You're human. To turn around and give people a guilt trip, it's going to backfire. Because if it rubs people really the wrong way, they're going to go out of their way and do it just to piss you off. They didn't do it Monday to piss people off. Yeah, they may have done it Monday to send a signal to the women in the ring, we don't like your match, but leave it at that. Give it a better job. Sharon, since Monday Night Raw is really only one of the few entertainment shows that are consistently on 52 weeks out of the year, have we just become so jaded to no return? Is it failing because of it not selling, it's selling out to appease TV networks and other people's pockets? No, it's just a sign of the times. I look at it like this. You see Girls Gone Wild anymore? No. Yeah, it might be kind of sexist to a lot of people these days, but unfortunately, there are forms of entertainment that doesn't mesh well with, you know, certain eras that we live in. You look at TV shows. You look at stand-up comedy. You look at Richard Pryor and some others from yesteryear. You could look at white comedians, black comedians. You look at Andrew Dice Clay. They couldn't dare do half the stuff that they did 20, 30 years ago. Times change. There are TV shows from back in the day, 50s, 60s, 70s. You'd never be able to do today. Times change. You know, you can't always, because you're on, you know, 52 weeks out of the year for 10, 20, 30 years, that it's always guaranteed to be a success. It's a challenge. And unfortunately, wrestling peaked at a time where you could be raunchy and be vulgar and be very sexual, even use fucking homophobic slurs, fucking, you know, belittle people's manlihood and womanhood. And get away with it. You'd always upset some people, but you'd get away with it. Because people would say, oh, it was just entertainment. Mom and Hassan, we just talked about in a history show. Oh, it was just entertainment. Unfortunately, you know, with some of the times, you can't do it anymore. So a lot of us who you know, WWE pushed the Attitude Era, even for young fans. Oh, go to the network. Attitude, 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 Attitude. And then they try to cover it up with Sheamus and some others. This era is better than the Attitude Era. Because why? Because, number one, they have pride for their current product, so they feel that they are superior athletes. Okay, fine. That's their opinion. I have no problem with that. But they also do it for another reason. Because they push the Monday Night Wars and the Attitude Era, and they still do it like crazy. That when you have young fans that are watching Attitude, 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 and then looking at today, it's like night and day. Oh, my God, I want that. Oh, my God, I want that. You can't have it. So they have to try to make today the greatest ever, the greatest this. Every other word out of Michael Cole's, you know, the best person ever, blah, 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 blah. Arguably, that's all design. Everyone, check out Texas Podcast Mask. We're not done. We're almost done, though. Texas Podcast Mask, awesome horror theme film podcast. They just did, as I said, on Monday, American Werewolf in London. TexasPodcastMask.com. Very, very unique content. If you're into horror films especially, you'll love this podcast. Shoot the Defense, a really good soccer podcast. I know a lot of you are big-time soccer fans, especially now with the women's U.S. team winning. Check out Stell and Shoot the Defense. Rock Reviews. I kind of compare it to Texas Podcast Massacre, but in the music scene, just a very unique podcast looking at albums from yesteryear, mostly in the rock music world. Sneaker Addict DJ Dells and his Sneaker Podcast. You can find him on YouTube under the name Sneaker Addict. A lot of reviews of sneakers, wrestling as well. Really nice mix. Very likable guy. And Dells knows I've been a Dells fan since day one-ish. Elman Shah and his Displayed Store. Very good artist. I have some of his artwork. You get his link on my website, dontony.com, subzerocomics.com for your wrestling, pop culture, and comic book collectible needs. Your Best Bargains, LLC. Mike is good people. I have bought from him quite a few times. He's got an Amazon and an eBay store under the same name. You could buy everyday stuff, and you could buy collectible stuff, but mostly everyday stuff, and his prices are excellent. I don't buy things because I'm friends or supporters. I buy it because they got good shit. Raul Romo's House of Cards, another person who I have actually bought from. He's got a lot of pro wrestling cards on eBay. Look up Raul Romo's House of Cards. And last but not least, Christ in the Toyverse, Bob O'Mac. Apparently Bob is going to do another unique little video featuring yours truly's bobblehead. A lot of people are enjoying that. I take pride. I know he does a lot of hard work there, but I take pride. You do a Google search for his show, and the first thing that comes up, the most popular thing, is the review of my bobblehead. So, and I am going to work soon to mass producing my bobblehead so everybody could get one. It's a really cool bobblehead. Now, I need to repeat and stress that any new merch that comes out, I handle my own merch. Kev Castle handles his own merch. Mish handles his own merch. So I don't want anybody saying to me, oh, you got all this Don Tony stuff new, but no one else's. Well, you got to speak to them about that. They handle their own stuff going forward. Let's see. DJ White Sox. What do I think of the Sonny Kiss character in AEW? Do I think it's inappropriate for a mainstream show? No, I love the Sonny Kiss character. All right. Yes, I'm a heterosexual male. No, I don't fantasize. I'm not interested in being bisexual. I'm not interested in being homosexual. Just my preference. But I love the character. I see him, I think of Sylvester when I grew up. I fucking love Sylvester. Just was a great performer. I was into R&B stuff. Was fascinated with his life. A lot of performers when I grew up were gay. Just so happened. But I didn't look at them as gay. I just looked at them as awesome performers. A lot of house music, a lot of DJs, from Frankie Knuckles down the line. Fucking love their work. Have tons and tons of their mixes and stuff. They inspired me. A lot of them were gay. Never looked at them any other way than a great performer. David Mancuso. I could go down the line. Fucking, that's just so. Him being homosexual and being flamboyant and being controversial, if that makes you uncomfortable, don't watch it. That's how I look at it. It's an extension of himself, you know, to the 10th 10,000th power. He's a great performer. Yes, they will exaggerate and emphasize certain aspects of his sexuality to be controversial. But at the end of the day, you know, I have no problem with it. I don't remember people in an uproar when Billy and Chuck were having their wedding on TV and doing a whole storyline. I mean, do anybody remember the controversy as far as the wedding itself and certain things that were promised that didn't happen? You know, do some research. You'll be fascinated what you find. I have zero problem with Sonny Kiss. I like the character. I think he's an up-and-coming performer. Is he a superstar yet? No. Not at all. But it doesn't make me feel uncomfortable. Even if he did sexual gestures in the ring. Now, you know, look, when Goldust was doing everything he was doing with Razor Ramon, you know, we knew it was Dustin Rhodes, but at the same time, you know, it was a little over the top. I don't think you need to force, you know, the sexual part of it, because I don't think it would be appropriate for a lot of people, whether heterosexual or homosexual. Look at everybody who doesn't like the Joey Ryan stuff. You know, it's there's got to be obviously a place where you have to stop. You want to try to cross that line a little bit? Fine. It's entertainment. Can't always take everything so personal. But if some people feel uncomfortable about it, you know, then don't watch it. Don't follow it. Don't be a fan of it. But don't bash the guy simply because he's doing it. Just because you don't like something means that he should be bashed for it. I'm not saying that you don't like it. I'm just saying that, you know, for anybody in general, you know, not everything in wrestling I like, you know, but I'm not going to bash, you know, the persona or gender simply that, no. Let's see. Roger Rubio. And finally, for this week, we have Brian, the mayor of Dinosaur Island, Landry. I love that name. He was at Ottawa C4 Wrestling a few weeks ago, and he had a great twist to a traditional I Quit match. Instead of saying I quit, the opponents had to say, I respect you. If you could design your own twist to any special rules match, what would it be? Brian, there's been a lot of I respect matches in the past. I particularly... You know, I might be a little bit overanalyzing here. You don't gain someone's respect simply because they beat you. You might in story. Now, I'm telling storyline right now. You know, in storyline, we have had wrestlers put down other wrestlers. Then after they have a really good match, that person will cut a promo and say, you know, look, after being in the ring, you know, I have a newfound respect for blah, 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 blah. Okay, that happens all the time. You know, when you quit in a quit match, it means you can't take anymore. You're done. You know, it's you wouldn't want to lie about quitting, because when you quit, you lose. You could lie about respecting someone and not respect them, but you're technically quitting and you're saying you respect to someone because you can't continue. So I don't particularly like respect matches. I always remember the Brian Pillman, Kevin Sullivan. I respect you, Booker man. You know, that was what it was. But I don't know, man. Any twist on any special rules match? You know, I don't know. I just don't like, I'll say it like this. I don't like when we have traditional gimmick matches, and because they're not creative enough to follow the gimmick to the fullest, that they will do something they're not supposed to, and they'll use the excuse of a bad referee call. For example, the cage match with Shane McMahon recently, he puts his foot on a rope and the referee breaks, and you know, like the announcers are like, why did the referee do that? If the referee really fucked up and screwed up like that, that referee would have been reprimanded and whatever. But the point is that you could see the storyline. Shane McMahon put his foot on the rope. All right. He knows in a cage match, you don't put your foot on the rope. Do you ever see him put his foot on the rope in other matches? that are no DQ or something like that? No. But it happened that time. Why? Because that was a planned spot. They wanted to do something like that. They wanted to come off that the referee made a bad call and this and that. And no, it wasn't. It was just a cop-out to do a few things in the match that you are not supposed to because of the gimmick. So I just feel like if you do it that way, you leave it that way. You know, it's the challenge to you to make everything fit. That's why they're getting paid the big bucks and we're not. But I don't have too much of a problem with a lot of the gimmick matches of today. You know, I've talked about, you know, some of the outcomes that I would have preferred to see on some of the matches. You know, I always loved the one where Big Show, I can't remember who he pinned, but Big Show pinned someone and he had them pushed against the wall sideways. He picked the person up, pushed him against the wall, and that's how he got pinned. I thought that was really, really cool. Be a little creative, but don't do things, you know, like, and blame it on a bad ref call. It's Bush League, because it wasn't a bad ref call. It was just, you know, horrible writing. And I know it's just a tiny little aspect in a match, but, you know, I don't have too much of a problem of the matches of today. I hate, like, reverse battle royals or these reverse matches that TNA used to do. It's like, okay, you know, the gimmick itself is good, but we're going to make it unique. We're going to do the opposite. I didn't like that. You know, I think a lot of gimmick matches, you should be able to explain the rules in one sentence, possibly two. When you have to write a whole paragraph to explain, you know, all the details of the match, then you shouldn't be doing that gimmick match. And that's one thing I always remember with TNA. They would have these matches where there would be like four. I mean, I've talked about it in the history shows. None of them come to mind right now. But there would be like five, six, seven sentences to explain the whole thing. It's like, oh, give me a fucking break. You know, less is more. And, you know, simple. Some of the most simple matches and storylines over the years that we all remember were not complicated. Doesn't need to be complicated to be awesome and memorable. Just needs to be good. With that, everyone, I am done. Follow me on Twitter at DonTonyD, the website DonTony.com. Email me DonTony@DonTony.com. Matt, Roger Rubio, Shamaya Kaiser, Merle Coombs, your prizes from the predictions contest will be sent out tomorrow. I will definitely PM all of you on Patreon to let you know they're on their way. And everyone else, thank you for the support. Remember, I will be back Monday with your next edition of the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle Show. Breakfast with Blasi returns in 2 weeks, the 31st of July. And that's it. I'm out of here. Take care. Be well. Talk to you soon.